because that is where you're going to find your value. All right. Now, before we dive into that message and stuff, do me a favor. We're all standing, or most of us are. Won't you take just a quick second, say hello to one or two people around you before you have a seat. Go ahead and say hello. Hello. Well, good morning, Rock Church. How's everybody doing? You guys good today? So it's good to see you. I want to welcome everybody here, and I want to say happy St. Patrick's Day, okay? So where are my Irish friends? Anybody's got a little Irish blood in them? So we hold this day a little bit closer, all right? So we're thankful for you being here, and just hope you're having a great day. I do want to highlight one thing before we get to the message. We were celebrating just some things that are going on around church. Obviously, we had the Shine Prom Friday. That was great. One other thing I want to make sure we celebrate is that 2 weeks ago, we stood in front of you and we gave a challenge to the church that we wanted to see a bunch of students go to camp, and we've reduced the price of camp to make that happen, but we said we need to raise an additional $30,000. I want you to know that we have surpassed that amount, okay? So, yeah, praise God. Thankful to Him providing through His people, all right? So I really just appreciate everybody coming along. But I also, in that, want to encourage you in your regular giving, that when we give, like, to special things like we just did to camp, or just in general like we normally do, that it allows the ministry of God to move forward. It partners with God and with His local church to make things happen. So when you do that, you are making a difference. So I want to thank you for that and appreciate you for that. All right, now, the message that we're in is called Finding Jesus. It's all leading up to Easter, about different times in our life that leads us to a point where we find Jesus. That in week one, we talked about the idea that there's times that you're looking for answers, and that will lead you to Jesus. Last week we said there's times in your life when you need healing, when you're hurting, when you need help, and that will lead you to Jesus. Today we're going to talk about it from this angle. There are times that we have regrets, and those regrets lead us to Jesus. Now I'm curious, anybody here today ever done something you've regretted? Yeah, right? Like this is an all participate morning, because we've all had regrets. Like, we've all done things. Some of those things are minor, that in the grand scheme of it don't really matter, but they're still regrets. I have one of those. It involves the car that I bought when I was 17 years of age. When I was 17, I bought a 1969 Ford Mustang Fastback, okay? Now, any car lovers in the group, you know that's a car, okay? Like that's a real car. And what it was is I was driving my 78 Rally Sport Camaro, which wasn't a bad car, and I pulled up into my buddy's driveway, and his brother was there. I started talking to him. I said, hey, what vehicle is that over there? It's under a tarp. He goes, oh, it's my car. I'm getting ready to sell it. I said, well, what you got? And he showed me, and it looked like this, okay? Not identical, but looked like this. It was a blue. It had that kind of, you know, faded blue. The difference is, like, mine had a better front bumper, and mine had much better tires and wheels, okay? Like mine had what we called 50s in the back. Like, today, we measure tires like this. Back then, we measured tires like this. And so I had big ones in the back, little ones in the front with air shocks. Dale, you get me on this, don't you? Like, there's a couple of you my age, you're like, oh, you're speaking my language right now. Man, that car was great. And it was fast. I met many of police officers in that car, okay? That I love that car. But here's my regret, is I was 17, 2 years later, I'm in college. I'm trying to drive this car a couple hundred miles every week into college, and it just keeps breaking down because that's what an old car will do. And it finally hit the point as a broke college student, I was like, I can't continue to put money in it. I've got to get a reliable car. So I put a for sale sign on my Mustang, and I sold it. Here we go. For $1,100. And I bought a 1984 Chevy Chevette. So I went from a muscle car to a pansy car. That's one regret. But the bigger regret is I went from $1,000 cash in my pocket to a vehicle today. I was just talking to a car enthusiast after the first service that is valued at over $100,000 if it's been redeemed, if it's been restored. My problem is I didn't recognize the value in restoration and redemption. And that's what I want to sit with you today. Do you understand the value of restoration? Do you understand the value of redemption? That when it comes to my car, honestly, it doesn't matter. But when it comes to life, now that matters. And we all have regrets. We all have some things that we regret. Some of those regrets are from 30 years ago. Some of those regrets are from last year. Some of those regrets are from last week. Some of those regrets might be from last night. Whatever that regret is, I want you to see that it is possible for you to have redemption. And what you need to do is understand your value. We're going to see that as we look at a story in Scripture. There's a great story. It's Luke chapter 15. And in Luke chapter 15, we get a story. It's probably the most famous story that Jesus ever told. That there were some people sitting around that were evaluating his ministry. And he ended up telling them, he said, well, let me tell you some stories. And he told them about a lost lamb. And then he told them about a lost coin. And then he told them about a lost son. And I'm going to tell you the story today. I'm going to break it into a couple different parts. But the first part goes like this, that Jesus looked at him and said, there once was a dad who had two sons. The youngest son went to his dad and said, Father, give me my share of the estate. So the father divided up the estate and gave it to the son. And then the son, a few days later, set off for a distant country where he squandered all that he had been given on wild living. And then a famine came over the land. And when the famine came over the land, he became to be in need. So he hired himself out to a local farmer who sent him to the fields to work with the pigs. And as he was working with the pigs, he longed to eat the pods that the pigs were eating, yet no one would give him anything to eat. Press pause. I want you to catch that part of the story. Because in this part of the story, what we see is regret. We see a guy who is face down in the pig slop at the bottom of the barrel. He's hit rock bottom. He's in great need. I want you to think about it from this angle that they would have heard it from when they were hearing it the first time from Jesus. A young Jewish boy has hired him out to a Gentile farmer who has him working with pigs. You can't get any lower than that as a Jewish man. So what Jesus is saying is this guy is at rock bottom and he has regrets. And his regrets come for many different reasons, but I can point out three real quick. His regret came from saying the wrong thing. That he looked at his dad and he said, Dad, give me my share of the estate. That you can hear that's just wrong. Like, I think we all understand how estates and inheritance works, that it works after somebody died. But he was making a statement to his dad saying, I wish you were dead now because I want what is due to me. And we don't know if he was asking a question, will you? Or if he was making a statement. There's some debate on that. But either way, it's the wrong words. You ever said something that you regretted? I know I have. I know there's times that things come out of your mouth and you're just like, crap, that was the wrong thing to say. There's other times you say it and you mean it. And you know later on, that was the wrong thing to say. He's having regrets because he said the wrong thing. He's having regrets because he broke relationship. That he left his father. He severed his relationship with his dad. And later on, we'll also see that he severed his relationship with his older brother. So he had a broken relationship due to what he had said and to his actions. You have any regrets? Because you've broken relationship. Maybe that's a broken relationship with a friend. Maybe that's a broken relationship with a coworker. Maybe that's a broken relationship with a family member, a mom, a dad, a child, that you've got a broken relationship and it's led you to a point of regret. Or there's another thing we see in the story, that he has regret because he lost his morals, that he was raised a certain way, that he had some rules that he was following, a lifestyle he was living by, but when he went to a distant land, he traded all that in. It says that he spent all of his money on wild living, on prostitution, on drugs, on alcohol, on parties, that it was a wild lifestyle, and he lost it all, that he spent it all. And maybe you've been there, maybe you are there right now. That you've got some regrets because you've lost your morals, that you've traded them in, that you're like, well, it's not going to be that big of a deal. Everybody's doing it. So you step into it, and then you step in more, and then you step in more. And before long, you've went from an inch away to miles and miles and miles away from where you ever dreamed you thought you would be. Maybe you traded in your morals Friday night, and Saturday morning you woke up with regret. Maybe you traded in your morals because you had been sober for a couple weeks or a couple months, or maybe a couple years. And in a momentary lapse, you traded in your morals and you woke up with regrets. Maybe you were at the office and you said something. Maybe you joined into some conversations that you knew were not right. Maybe you did some things that you knew were not right. Regrets. Maybe you jumped on social media and said something or messaged somebody from your past that you know you shouldn't have been messaging, and it led to regrets because you traded in some morals. Regrets come because we say things we shouldn't say. We break relationships that we shouldn't break. We do things that we shouldn't do. We trade in morals that are of God to morals that are away from God. And those regrets, they aren't just things you think. They are emotions you feel. Because regrets don't just stay here. They go here and here. And some of you right now, we need to pause and we need to recognize this. Some of you right now are sitting in regret. And again, that regret could be from years ago, or that regret can be from hours ago, days ago. What do you do with your regret? What do you do when you're sitting there at the bottom of the pig's pen and you just feel like, man, like I'm lost. I've broken faith. I've walked away from my family. I've walked away from relationships. I've hit rock bottom, that I'm in pig slop and I want to eat the things the pigs are eating. What do I do when I'm right there? What do you do when you feel like you're at a place of zero value? You let God redeem you. Or maybe the best way to say it is that when you feel that, you find Jesus. Because Jesus will show you your value. And we see that in the next part of the story. You see, let me keep telling you the story, that it says that he was face down, that that he was hungry, but no one would help him. And then it says this, then he came to his senses. And he said, my father, servants have plenty to eat and some left over. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go back to my father and I'm going to tell him I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants. And so he got up and he went back and when he was a long way off, the father saw him and came running to him. And the son, when they connected, gave his speech. He said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called one of your sons. Make me like one of your servants. And the father said, no. He said, you're my son. And he wrapped his arms around him and he kissed him. And then he called for his servants and he said, get a robe for his shoulder and get shoes for his feet and get a ring for his hand and kill the fattened calf because my son who was lost has been found. My son who was dead is alive. We must celebrate. That's what happens in the midst of the story. That what we see is redemption. And if you're dealing with regret right now, I want your life to be redeemed. I want you to find Jesus and to be restored, to be redeemed. You might go, okay, well, how do I do that? Just follow the footsteps of the lost son. First, he remembered. It says he came to his senses. He remembered. Let me show you the verse. It's verse 17 of chapter 5. It says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. That he recognized, he's like, whoa, 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 time out. I have a father who has plenty to eat. I have a father who has a house. I have a father who can provide for me. I'm going to go back to my father. That he remembered whose he was. Remember that song we sung earlier? I'm a child of God. Remember who you are. Remember where you've come from. And I think there's some of us in this room, some of us watching online right now, that we need to remember who we came from. For some of you, like you've grown up in church. Some of you grew up with faith, but you wandered away. You went to a distant country, and you found yourself back here right now. It's time to remember who you are. It's time to remember whose you are. It's time to remember where you came from. Others of you might go, man, I don't know where I came from. Like, I don't have a faith background. I just kind of stumbled into church. I found myself here today. I don't really know. Listen, I get you. Because I was you. That was me. I didn't have any kind of faith background. Yet, I know this, that God has brought you to this point and that he has hardwired you to long to connect with him. That he puts eternity on our hearts. He puts a desire to connect with him. We see that all throughout ancient history, world civilizations. People long to connect with God, just like you long to connect with him. That I love the way Romans 2 puts it. That I'm going to read a paraphrase version. It's from the Message. I don't typically read from the Message, but it says it in a way that's very understandable. Romans chapter 2, verse 14 reads like this. It says, they show that God's law is not something alien imposed on us from without, but woven into the very fabric of our creation. There is something deep within them that echoes God's yes and no, right and wrong. What this verse is saying, what I'm trying to say is this, is that God has hardwired you to connect with him because he created you. So remember and then return. Return. Probably the better word I would use for that is I'd say remember and repent. See, when we repent, what we're doing is we're returning to God. that the word repent means to think different and to change directions, to change our thinking. And we see that in the story of the lost son, that he returned, he repented. That it's verse 18, it reads like this: I will get up, I will go back to my father, I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. Like, if you want a great definition of repentance, it's right there. If you want a great action step of, well, how do I repent? How do I return? Just follow the example of Luke chapter 15, verse 18. Just follow the example of the lost son. And notice what it says. It gives you three steps. You want to know how to repent, how to return to God? Get up, get going, say I'm sorry. It's that simple. That the first thing is I got to get up. That the lost son was in the pit. He was in the mud. He was with the pigs. And it came to his senses and said, this is wrong. This is not where I should be. So he got up. If you've been walking in sin, living in sin, it is time to get up. Leave the pigs pen. Leave the mud. Leave the pit and say, I'm going to get up. I'm going to leave the regret. I'm going to get up. And I'm going to go back to my father. Then it's not just I'm going to get up on my own power and I'm going to handle this myself. No. The second step of repentance is this. I got to get up, meaning I got to get out of my sin and I got to go back to my father. Because the only way I can get help, the only way I can find forgiveness is if I go to him and say I'm sorry. Like, don't lose this. See, I think times will be like, man, I'm so thankful for the grace of Jesus. I think there's times will be like, man, I want to go to church. I think there's times will be like, man, I want to connect with Jesus. But I think too many times we forget that when we sin, we need to tell Jesus we're sorry. We need to say, Jesus, I'm sorry. And sorry means I've left it. Sorry means that I'm saying I'm done with that. I got up. I'm going back to my father. And I'm saying I've sinned against heaven and against you. Well, how do I do that? Humble yourself. You got to humble yourself. The next verse says this: I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. That is the lost son saying in an act of humility, I'm not worthy. And that's how we need to approach Jesus. We need to approach him and say, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Now, here's the beauty of it. That's the attitude we need to go with. But the beauty is, he decides how much you're worth. And his declaration over us is, you are my son. You are my daughter. You are my child. When he looks at us, he sees value. He sees value. So get up, go back, and say I'm sorry through an act of humility. And when we do that, here's the beauty. We get reconciled. That we get made right with the Father. We get made right with God. The last verse reads like this, says, so he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. And I want you to see that I believe that's what God does for us. That when we recognize and we get up, when we're ready to repent and we get up, we go back to the Father, we say I'm sorry, that the Father runs to us and he wraps his arms around us and he says, you're my child and we are made right. And the way we're made right is through the blood and the work of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians says it this way: all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. Do you hear that? Think about all the sins that you've ever committed, all the sins that I've ever committed, that God says, I'm not going to count your sins against you. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to make you right. So that's what I want us to do right now. We're going to go back into a time of response. And we're going to spend some time just running to the Father right now. And as we run to the Father, we're going to do it through the life of Christ. See, here's the beauty of it. That because Jesus came down, what he's doing is he's illustrating for us the Father running. And we're going to spend some time running to him because his arms are open wide. And see, there, I believe there's some of you today that today's the day for you to get rid of regret and to be reconciled. I believe today's the day for you to let go of that regret from last week, last month, last year. And to come to Jesus. That I'm going to give you that opportunity. And we're going to sing a little bit, and then I'm going to come back up, and I'm going to finish this sermon because there's one little part that we still got to get to. But I feel like we got to pause here. I think now's the time that we understand that, and it's time to remember whose I am. And it's time to repent by getting up and getting going. And here's the beauty of it. Here's the beauty of Christ. That when the sun got up, and he got going, he still had to make a long journey back to get to that land. Now, when he was going back, the Father was standing there with his eyes towards the horizon. He was looking for his son. And when he saw his son off in the distance, the Father went running to the son and wrapped his arms around him. In the same way, this is true of us, that when we come to our senses, when we remember, we can get up, we can repent by getting up and getting going. But here's the beauty. As soon as we turn, Jesus closes the gap. That we don't have to make a long journey home. That Jesus says, oh, I got you covered. So today, return. Repent. And be reconciled back to God. And I have to say this. I believe if you don't, it will be the decision you regret more than any other in your life. And I don't want you to live with that regret. I don't want you to one day stand before Jesus and he says, remember the day on St. Patrick's Day that you sat in church and you heard about my love and you did nothing. Today's the day to remember, to repent, and to be reconciled. So why don't you do me a favor? Let's stand up together. And I'm going to give you that opportunity. We'll have some prayer counselors in this connect corner over there. We'll have some prayer counselors in that connect corner. Maybe today's the day for you to respond to him and say, I'm all in. I'm repenting. I'm remembering him. That's faith. I'm repenting. That's my action. Maybe today's the day you'll sign up to get baptized at Easter, or maybe you'll get baptized right now. But let's go into this song. Let's spend some time, and then I'm going to come back up, and we're going to continue on for just a little bit more. Pray with me. Jesus, we come before you. We want to return. We say, here we are. We are ready to surrender, just like the lost son. Help us to do that right now, Jesus.